There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, the violence in Haiti is unbelievable. And I woke up this morning and my prayer partner said to me, are you watching this story in Baltimore? Because one of our kids is living in Baltimore, not my kids, but one of her kids lives in Baltimore. So I said, no, I just woke up. I don't watch the TV when I get up. And so she said, well, a ship hit a bridge in Baltimore and the whole bridge came down. And I'm so demented and half asleep that in my head I'm hearing, like, you know, London Bridge is falling down. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Bridges don't just fall down. Ships don't just hit bridges. And immediately, because of everything that's going on in the world right now, I immediately go to, this sounds like terrorists to me. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to my prayer partner, especially the one who's got a kid who lives up in Baltimore, though this all went down about 1:30 in the morning. And I don't think, that she was concerned that any member of her family was out and about at that hour on a Monday. But I just felt it was the better part of, discretion is always the better part of valor, right? So I didn't say anything. But as I continue to look at stories, I don't see, it just seems surprising to me that no one else is asking that question. Doesn't that seem a little odd to you? Do ships just periodically crash into bridges? No, they don't. And there are tons of ships traveling in the waterways and tons of bridges. But apparently I'm the only person who had this sinister, nefarious thought. The ship apparently lost control and its ability to propel. And, you know, immediately the sub headline everywhere is no indication of terrorism in Baltimore bridge collapse. Well, at least they're addressing what there's no issue in, right? Terrorism does not appear to have been a factor in the collapse of a major U.S. bridge that fell into Baltimore Harbor after a container ship crashed into it. Police Commissioner Richard Worley told Barron's, the news department. Okay, I'd like to hear something from the federal government. I don't know about the rest of you, but when something of this nature happens, when I wake up every morning to finding out that, you know, the doors on airplanes are just flying off, landing gear is crumbling, and ships are crashing into bridges. Maybe it's just me, but is this not what you'd look for if we were being attacked? And why wouldn't we be in the midst of being attacked, considering how even this administration walked away from Israel yesterday? Apparently, if you take a position against Israel these days, you're going to be on the right side of everything. But if you support Israel, well, then all bets are off. And I guess maybe I just worry and wonder if on some level we're not seeing a lot of these incidents. That's what they call them, incidents. These are occurrences. I don't know, a container ship crashing into a bridge and cars falling into the harbor. Somehow that seems like more than an occurrence to me. But of course, I'm considered a conspiracy theorist, an alarmist, and all the other cool nicknames that I get called all the time. And I'm just going to tell you that what I've learned over the last couple of years is a lot of those conspiracy theories that I used to proffer ended up being true. So why wouldn't I be suspicious right now? I don't know. There's going to be all kinds of supply chain problems now, which, of course, is why I think terrorism. If you want to mess up the United States of America, there's a couple of things you can do. You can knock out the power grid, God forbid, or you can disturb the supply chain. Because if you think a bridge collapse in Baltimore Harbor is only going to affect the people living in Maryland or even the people on the East Coast, think again. This is going to cause a chink in an already stressed out supply chain, which will include things like food and cars, and really going to make us have to wonder, how dependent are we on goods that are shipped in? You know, because these are major hubs. The distribution hub near the port of Baltimore is a very large one. And shipping has now been suspended at the port, as it should have been. But when you start to look into what actually happened, this was a ship that was bound for Asia that crashed into the Key Bridge. I think it's the Francis Scott Key Bridge, I think is the full name of the bridge. But all morning long, they've had to reduce that to the Key Bridge. And the cargo ship, if you look at the pictures, and there's so many pictures, that's really disturbing to me, how many photographs are being shared online. What if you had a family member who was on that bridge? I mean, would you really want the whole world looking at these photographs? I always say that. Sometimes we just show up too quickly on the scene, and we make too much information available that's not really necessary. If you look at the picture, the one picture that was the first thing that greeted me when I logged on this morning after I'd been told it happened, was a picture of the frame of the bridge all across this cargo vessel. Now, I had my papa was a merchant marine. And so I've walked on cargo vessels. I've, you know, gone down to the various ports, particularly Port Everglade, to pick him up after he's, you know, coming back from cruising around the world. Though it's not a cruise when you're the bosun, it's a lot of work. But I'm looking at this cargo ship, and you see all of the containers on it, and then you see this bridge draped over it. There's something about this story that's not sitting right with me. And until I get more information, I'm going to be very suspicious. Here's where you start to think, how dependent are we on things that are brought into our country from other countries, in particular from Asia? Because mark my words, now nobody, I don't know if anybody else is talking about this. I haven't listened to any other talk shows today because I like to collate my own thoughts. I read as much information, news as I can get. But then I think. And we're looking at a disruption in a supply chain which has already been laboring its way back since COVID, right? That could last. So I said, okay, well, how long could this last? I need to start searching for the expert opinions, right? And I stumbled upon Amazon and FedEx, got some information there, and then I found an expert who is at Johns Hopkins University. He's a business expert. And he said there could be up to 7 months of disruption from this one, they're calling it an incident. He believes that the automobile and logistical industries will be among the most impacted. Major brands such as Amazon and FedEx have distribution warehouses near the port. But the Port of Baltimore does a lot of trade. But in comparison to the bigger ports like New York and New Jersey, not so much. And yet, predictions are up to 7 months of disruption in the supply chain. Then I read Darren Spinnick, who is an associate fellow at the Henry Jackson Society. He said, we could see delays in the supply chain with cars, especially Jaguar and Land Rovers. Now, I don't know why those were singled out in particular, but they were. There will also be a short-term impact on food supplies as the port handles significant imports of agricultural machinery and commodities, including sugar and salt, as well as fertilizers. So now you have to start going down the whole chain, right? Because fertilizers impacts the farmers. Sugar and salt impacts everybody. All of the brands that you depend on, from frivolous things like potato chips to necessary things like sugar itself. Cargo workers at the port handle imports and exports of popular car brands, including Audi, Bentley. I don't know how popular Bentley is. It might be popular, but it's not very often purchased. Volkswagen, Nissan, and Jaguar Land Rover. Ford and General Motors have already taken steps to reroute Baltimore's shipments. It's going to have an impact, according to Chief Financial Officer of Ford. We'll have to divert parts to other ports. It will probably lengthen the supply chain a bit. They handle more than 800,000 cars, according to the government. The port will be closed. I don't know. They didn't put a time frame on it, but you got to figure this is going to be a long-term issue. And it will inevitably mean there's going to be shipping issues all up and down the East Coast and probably all the way into the Midwest. Ports in Virginia, New York, and New Jersey are reportedly prepared to handle any extra ships. That's what Bloomberg put out about a half an hour ago. But I don't know. We had a dry run with the pandemic, didn't we? Maybe it's just me, but I see the pandemic as ground zero of everything that's happening even today. I hope that at some point I'll be able to let go of that mindset, always thinking the worst. And then I remember, that's what they wanted. They wanted to make us afraid, and afraid they have made us. I don't let it paralyze me, but I definitely react and respond differently than I did prior. If you had woken me up 5 years ago and said a ship crashed into a bridge in Baltimore, I would have said, not ho-hum, but I would have said, oh, okay, I wonder what the long-term effect of that's going to be. Today, I hear the same story, and it's like, I'm already convinced it's a terrorist act, and there's going to be more. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I just share with you how I think. And if I think that way, I'm sure some of you do as well. Don't forget to download the app, the 850 WFTL app on your cell phone, on your laptop. That way you would have gotten breaking news stories about this, and you would have been able to access podcasts and contests galore. We have a contest right now giving away Sunfest 4 packs of tickets. That's a great prize. You want to be on that contest. So go ahead, either download the app or visit the website, 850WFTL.com. Stay right where you are. I'm going to be right back. And at the bottom of the hour, at 3:30, I'm going to be talking with Fain Lozman, because you cannot believe where his story has gone now. This is really starting to take on a very, very, not just perplexing, but sinister tone. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Tolls, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So that's, you know, that's my sharing with you what kind of morning it's been for me, what kind of thoughts I've had. And I've been had a busy morning. I've been very busy this morning, but through it all, I kind of just have this overwhelming sense of dread. And the one thing about 9/11 was that just happened, and it took like a week or two before we saw all the things that had happened. I mean, at first we saw a plane go into a building, and then we saw a second plane go into a building, and then we found out about another plane that went into the Pentagon. But it all kind of like unfolded pretty within the first 72 hours. Now, I feel like there's something happens every other day somewhere. You know, Moscow gets hit by Islamic terrorists. 140 people get killed. And then like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, we'll see some other catastrophic event taking place somewhere else. You know, 100 immigrants push through the border, and there's a lot of violence. I don't know. There's just, it's just starting to, the confluence, the stuff happening somewhere every day, something. It's very concerning. I do want to say that I'm not one of these people who always jumps into the hot stock. I used to do that. I used to do a lot of trading, a lot of, short-term trading, a little day trading, but mostly just short-term trading. And for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I have been convinced that I should, really consider Trump's media stock, because I think, my prediction is it's going to go very far up. And it was surging so badly today, or so goodly today, I don't know what the right term is, that they had to halt trading. Yeah. They jumped about 50% this morning in its first day of trading on the NASDAQ. Now, I couldn't get in on the IPO, but I probably could have gotten in tomorrow. And now I'm terrified. Even though it spiked 50%. And I just love the ticker symbol, DJT. They halted it, and then they resumed trading about 40 minutes, maybe 50 minutes after they had halted. It's not uncommon for the trading of stocks that everybody's watching to be suspended when the price either jumps up or falls down too quickly. Reports indicated that more than 6.5 million shares of the Trump stock were bought and sold by around 9:50 this morning, Eastern time. And a report from Reuters found that the company is now worth about $10 billion after the surge on the NASDAQ. The capitalization at $72.63 a share was almost $10 billion on an undiluted basis. It's crazy. The former president's majority stake in it was last valued at $5.72 billion, although he has those lockup restrictions that I told you about. For 6 months, he can't sell or borrow against it. But do you really think he's concerned about that? His liquidity? At 10 o'clock this morning, he was a very, very rich on paper man. The day after he finds out that he doesn't have to come up with $500 million anymore by yesterday, but no, he has to come up with, a little less than $200 million by 10 days from the time the order was entered, right? Okay. All I can tell you is, I don't think he's worried. I really don't. And if this continues the way it's going, and his net worth continues to grow in this way, he had fallen out of the 500 richest people list a couple of months ago. And I know that had to just, you know, really, people like him get very affected by such things. Well, he's back in. I'm not sure, but I think that with his net worth now at about $6.5 billion, he's definitely back on the 500 richest people list, you know. And it's just incomprehensible to people like me and you, right? The Devin Nunes, the CEO of the new company, he said the business will move to reclaim the internet from big tech censors. We will continue to fulfill our commitment to America's to serve as a safe harbor for free expression and to stand up to the ever-growing army of speech suppressors. I'm sure Mr. Nunes did pretty well, too. I know he's got some stock in there. It's a lot more lucrative than being the Republican congressman. That much I'm sure. He's actually would be a pretty decent choice for VP anyway. But listen, right now he doesn't have to worry about his future. And in the meantime, Donald Trump is, you know, on trial beginning on the April 15th, tax day, over Stormy Daniels and hush money. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Sometimes I think that, you know, the rest of the world must be looking at us and going like, come on, guys, get your acts together. You used to be on top of the world, and now you're just the laughingstock of the world. All right, let me take a break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking with Fain Lozman. I saw a press release he actually sent me at the end of last week, which was so ridiculous. I mean, it's on a par with how ridiculous all the cases against Donald Trump are. That's how ridiculous the cases against Fain Lozman have been. But most people just have to take the abuse and can't fight back. Fortunately, Donald Trump can fight back, and fortunately, Fain Lozman can fight back. So stay right where you are. We'll talk to Fain in just a few moments. Welcome back. I don't know if I can, like, get in trouble because, you know, I'm going to have this conversation with a man who the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida has been ordered to remove a shipping container and a floating dock that it sits on out of the Lake Worth Lagoon near Palm Beach, Florida. And who is that man? Well, none other than Fain Lozman. Fain, you violated the Rivers and Harbors Act. Did you realize that?
No, I did not realize that because I didn't violate the Rivers and Harbors Act.
Well, they said you did.
But the Army Corps accused me of doing that, and in the last 5 years, there's been two enforcement actions, one for me and one for someone else. Mm-hmm. All the houseboats, container homes, floating restaurants, none of those needed a permit, but Fain Lozman needed one, even though it was on his private property that the state of Florida says are not navigable waters.
So I'm still trying to figure this out. You've got the whole government against you now. What are you going to do?
Well, we know President Trump's going to get reelected, and both of us are volunteering to help clean up the swamp. So that's one place to start. In the meantime, this morning, my friend Ryan and I, we towed my floating container homes back to 5101 North Ocean Drive in Singer Island. I rented a crane from Allegiant for a grand. They pulled it out, and they put it right next to the sidewalk. And hysteria has broken out in Singer Island. So you can just sit there and watch that for a couple months until code enforcement tells me to get it out of there.
Oh, you're so kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I will send you a photo. You can tweet it to your listening base.
Oh, my goodness. That's a major, move to move that shipping container.
It's a huge move. What happened was we had it parked by some other floating homes by Peanut Island, and a guy went there, stole the anchor, and pushed the shipping container out into the intercoastal. And my buddy saw it happen. He ran over with his boat and tied it up to a piling out there. And then early this morning, we went and got it and towed it back to my property, got the crane, craned it off, and it's right by the sidewalk.
Wow. So what do you think happens next? I mean, they're relentless. They're coming after you, Fain.
Well, Botell did not win re-election. So
that's
she's
true.
Gone. Mm-hmm. And now the city manager, Jonathan Evans, was told he'd be fired if he didn't resign. So he's supposed to be resigning and getting his exit package before next Wednesday. So there's been a cataclysmic shift in the leadership base in Riviera Beach. But what I'm going to do is those you know, you have defamation per se, and you have defamation per quad, Q-U-O-D. And what these guys did, they defamed me, those six attorneys at DOJ, they basically saying like, oh, you were just putting your container home all over the Lake Worth Lagoon and creating a hazard of navigation, all that. My property at low tide is about, I don't know, 80 feet of mudflats. And I had my container home up on my private beach, 0.8 mile from the Intercoastal Waterway. And at the Intercoastal Waterway, the sunken barges, the sunken boats, there's all kind of trash. They didn't care about that. They came and cared about a container home on my 51 acres. So in the whole lagoon, the 700 acres in the entire lagoon, I had one little shipping container. And that drove everybody crazy. Unbelievable.
Well, they claim that you keep moving it, and that that one of your docks split apart, and that they become unmoored, and all this other stuff. I mean, I don't know how they established that.
You know why it came unmoored? Because they took away my electricity. I can't have electricity. I can't have cameras. I can't have a fence. So people, these environmental zealots, came and stole three anchors and the chain, which was about $4,000 worth of anchor and chain.
Wow.
Filed a police report. I had an insurance policy, and they actually reimbursed me for the anchor chain that was stolen.
Wow.
But that's why it got unmoored, because they purposely stole everything and just pushed it up. That's what they think. It's funny, but somebody can get killed driving around at night in their boat when they smash into an unlit container home.
Right.
And I've been very lucky that hasn't happened, but that's what they want to happen. They want somebody to get killed. Botel told me she hopes somebody drowns on my property so that I can get sued and go bankrupt. And that's why they want me to have a fence so the children can play in there. I go, it's dangerous. You have mud flats, and you also have drop-offs of 20 feet where they dredge material to raise and widen North Ocean Drive. It's a hazard. It's an attractive nuisance. And she said, she used a profanity, and then she said, yeah, you'd be bankrupt when it's somebody drowns on your property. That's what an evil woman will tell us.
Wow. Well, at least she's out of the picture, but we don't know what's going to replace her. Could be just as bad or worse.
The guy used to be a city manager in Long Island, and he recognizes that eventually the properties that we own are going to have to be redeveloped because the king tides are coming up on the roads with seaweed and all. So just like you have erosion on the Atlantic side, you have erosion on the lagoon side, and it's people going to come in there and fill it in and build their own seawall to save the road, I think they're going to say, go right ahead. And now we're sitting on a lot of very, very, very expensive property.
Mm-hmm. Have they gone after anybody else on this? I mean, unlawful structures? I've never heard of it before.
What's unlawful about a floating home? Go to Key West. There's 50 right. floating homes in the marina there. Why aren't they making those guys get a permit?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You have a sunken barge that's been in front of Riviera Beach Marina for years. Why didn't they do something about that? I mean, it's just because Botel lobbied them. Botel sent the city manager to Jacksonville and said, you got to do something. We can't let him use his property for his floating home. And they created this drama. And these six pompous jerks from the Department of Justice, they don't know they have no clue as to the legal capabilities I have and the people that like me. You know, I was at the Supreme Court last Wednesday. The Gonzalez versus Trevino case was argued. Sylvia Gonzalez, who with a retaliatory arrest, she was an elected official, and Trevino, the mayor, came after her. Sotomayor mentioned me by name, and so did Justice Kagan.
Wow.
So my taking case is going to make its way to the Supreme Court in the next couple of years, and I think they're granted, and I'll get the relief of the value of my property because I can't even use it for a container home. I can't use it for anything. And that's what they want. They just want it to be their little dog park and their little private place, even though it's on my private property.
Hey, they picked a fight with the wrong guy. That's all I can say.
They picked a fight with the wrong guy. And the guy, you know, I thought about, like, should I really move the container home out there or should I just make a stand? You know, to say, you know, screw you, federal judge. You know, this country was built on private property rights and liberty, and you're being suckered into this deal by the DOJ in Riviera Beach. And I said, well, then I'm going to let that slide. I said, after going to D.C., I said, I can work my way through the courts again and become a winner.
Yeah, they definitely picked the wrong guy. All right. Well, listen, you know, just keep me in the loop and send me some pictures. I want to see the pictures.
I'll send you some pictures. And this, remember, this is a container home that was totally destroyed on the inside. They broke all the windows. That's the one that's now right by the sidewalk.
Nice.
But I love you, Joyce, and thank you so much.
I love you, too. Take care, Payne.
You just can't
make this stuff up. I mean, when they come after individuals, like they came after Donald Trump, like they've come after Fane Lozman, there's a tendency for them to believe that enough lawfare and you'll go away. You won't have the endurance. You won't have the money to do it. And then they pick fights with these guys. Look at Donald Trump today sitting there. Overnight, he made billions and billions of dollars. And so they thought they were going to break him with these cases. They're not. And not only are they not going to break him, but they have literally turned him into a cause célèbre. They've literally made him a martyr. I said that yesterday. It's, you know, people got all upset. Oh, you compared his case to Jesus Christ and his Holy Week. What he compared it to was persecution. And Fane has been persecuted over and over again by insane bureaucrats who really are not protecting people. They're not observing constitutionally preserved rights like property rights, free speech. They come after us, and most of the time, the people they choose to come after cannot afford and don't have the endurance to withstand the assault. Donald Trump, Fane Lozman, they picked the wrong guys. They really did. Anyway, let me take up my final break. Don't forget, coming up after me, it's Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags, and then Lars Larson, the overnight guys. Jen and Bill will be back at 6 a.m. with the South Florida Morning Show. At 9 o'clock, Brian Kilmeade, and at noon, Dan Bongino will be back. And then, of course, I always come back at 3 o'clock. But for now, I have one segment left today. Stay right where you are. Yeah, you just have to tell yourself over and over again that there is sometimes justice is fascinating to watch because it doesn't always manifest itself in the way you predicted or you would like to see it. It's not always that clear. You know, a friend of mine from New Zealand just texted me and said, Donald Trump is unfazed by all this. Said she saw or heard an interview that some friend of his from World Wrestling, whatever, UFC, the Ultimate Fighting, whatever that stuff is that Trump loves, that the guy said he's never seen him fall apart except once, and it was over somebody's death. You know, and like, that's true. When I think about the level of attack against him, which part of you can't stop him do they not get? I would never continue to fight the same battle and lose. It's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You're not going to get different results. Donald Trump, in the end, will always have some sort of triumph. You might have kept him out of the White House for these middle 4 years, but you won't keep him out of the White House forever. That's the truth. So the Pentagon press secretary just put out a readout where the Secretary of Defense, Austin, welcomed Israel Minister of Defense Gallant to the Pentagon for his first visit to Washington in his current role. The visit is occurring after nearly 6 months of close cooperation between the two leaders following the attack on October 7th and is a testament to the United States' unwavering support for Israel's long-term security. The secretary and the minister affirmed their shared interest in defeating Hamas. Well, maybe somebody ought to tell the president and our ambassador to the United Nations, right? Because that's not what happened. What happened was we abstained in a critical vote, which went 14-0, demanding a ceasefire, a resolution demanding a ceasefire, which Hamas praised, which tells you everything you need to know about that ceasefire. And then last night, Hamas came out and said, guess what? No hostages will be released. Forget it. What? Joe Biden not only gave them the winning hand, he gave money to the Iranian backers of Hamas and Hezbollah and all these other terrorist organizations. So I don't care what the secretary says. I don't care what CNN and MSLSD, I don't care what any of them say. Because the truth is, we just abandoned Israel. Hamas feels empowered. And if there are any hostages left alive, they won't be for long. I hate saying that. You know, that is a horrifying prospect. But we already know that from the 130 that we were sure were there a couple of weeks ago, months ago, now they're saying somewhere between 90 and 100. Okay, what happened to the other 30 or 40? What do you think happened? And what do you think is going to happen now? It's frightening to me how the leadership of this country right now just walked away from our only true democratic ally in the Middle East. Just abandoned them. But you know what the good news is? Israel is going to prevail. It's like the gentleman who was founding the Air Force after World War II, who had served in the United States Army Air Corps with my father. And he contacted my father a year or two after my father was, you know, home and working. And this guy had gone to Israel. And he wanted some airplanes. He wanted to buy some airplanes. And he told my father, who lived in New York City, he said, can you take me to this place in upstate New York where I can buy some airplanes? And so my father thought he was kidding, right? But he said, yeah, of course, I'll take you. And he ended up driving up there with his former soldier that he had served with. And they found these airplanes. And my father said to me, they were like literally held together with, you know, rubber bands and glue and paper clips, only on a slightly larger scale. And my father said, you can't use those. And he said that Yoni looked at him and said, of course I can. They'll be fine. And my father said, who's going to fly a plane like that? And he said, oh, we got lots of pilots who are ready to fly the plane. He said, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is who's going to be co-pilot of the plane. And my father, naive and a wonderful man, but wasn't catching on to the conversation yet. He said, well, who's the co-pilot? And he said, God. God is the co-pilot. We're his chosen people. This is the nation he promised would be resurrected. So we're not worried. I'm going to buy these planes and ship them back to Israel. And that's exactly what he did. And I tell you that story because I'm not worried that Israel is going to fall. But there's going to be a lot of pain and bloodshed. People are going to die, not just, Gazans, but Israelis and the people that were captured and held hostage that came from other countries, including from our country, the United States of America. They're not going to survive this. And then there are going to be repercussions. There are going to be attacks in foreign countries. We just saw an attack in Moscow. As far as I know, there have been attacks in America that we're not even being told about. If they don't achieve a certain size, we don't hear about them. They couldn't hide the bridge collapse, but they're already telling us, oh, no, not terrorism. No, 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 no. Don't anybody even say that out loud, because we're not offering that as a possibility. It's not terrorism. That makes me even more sure that there is a potential that it was terrorism, because they're stomping their feet and saying it isn't. Meanwhile, you know, our prayers go out. The footage is extremely frightening. I could not watch the videotape. I did see some still pictures, and that's enough for me. We just got a news flash a little while ago that the judge in Manhattan has reduced, well, we knew that yesterday, But now a gag order has been issued against Donald Trump. Because, of course, he hasn't stayed quiet at all, nor should he be expected to. And finally, yesterday I brought up at the end of the show that I wasn't really all that interested in the Ronna McDaniel story. But it seems to be getting more and more interesting. She lawyered up today. So they were fully planning to renege on the contract they gave her. And she lawyered up. I think this is going to get extremely... They fired her, by the way, an hour ago. After Rachel Maddow said, how dare they? She's a mobster. I mean, she compared her to a mobster, Rachel Maddow. And a 25-minute speech Rachel Maddow gave, uninterrupted, about the threat of fascism and the importance of elections, and McDaniel tried to undermine the 2020 election, blah, 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 blah. But it was, it got through to the management, and they fired McDaniel. And now she's lawyered up. This is going to be more fun than a barrel of monkeys. I'm not a big fan of hers. But I hope she milks MSNBC, and maybe even personally. She should go after Rachel Maddow personally. She was defamed, called her a mobster, all that stuff. It's time somebody took her down a peg or two. Well, that does it for me. I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, you didn't have to be with me, but you chose to be with me, and for that I am grateful. Remember that what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us, those are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And then, of course, may God bless you. May God bless Israel and protect Israel. I know he will. And may God bless the United States of America. My plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3. Meet me here. Be here or be square. See you tomorrow at 3.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.